D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. We hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Stay cool. It's hot as all hell outside. I thought we were past this. I'm one of those sickos that can't wait until it's winter. Specifically that like month-long stretch in November where it gets dark at 4:30, I actually enjoy that. So when it's 105 degrees outside, I am just waiting for those days where it's 40 degrees and it gets dark before dinner time.
Man, you're a sicko.
I just said I was a sicko.
Something's wrong with you. You want it to get darker. You know what?
What's that?
I think it's just people with big-ass glasses that think that, or big-ass brains that think that. Because my son is the same way. He loves when it gets dark early. And I'm like, dude, what is wrong with you? So you and him kind of, y'all got kind of sort of the same character traits, man.
That's possible.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that because I think my son's smart as a whip, and I think the same of you. So here we go.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hey, I want to say something that we're probably not going to get to say a lot. Titans win! Yes, it was a preseason game, but the Titans did beat the Falcons, so I just wanted to say that because I have a feeling we're not going to say that very much over the next few months. So let's savor it right now, right? Should I say it again? Titans win! That might be the only other time I say it until January.
Well, let's hope that that phrase is repeated on this show and other shows on this station and throughout the town a lot more than just a couple of times, you know, or a few times. Hopefully it have a streak, you know.
A streak,
you know, 2 to 3 games.
Is 2 a streak?
Yes.
Or do you have to have 3 to be a streak?
I think 3 is a real streak. So hopefully.
There's no doubt that 3 is a streak.
Yes.
But is 2 a streak?
That's luck.
We had this conversation about dynasties, remember? After the Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
3 consecutive championships marks a dynasty, at least according to my friend Mark Lazarus of The Athletic. So a streak to me, I mean, technically, 2 in a row is a streak. So
you may have got lucky. So
it's a very short streak.
Yeah. But right now, as the Titans sit, I will take that if they ran off 2 in a row, particularly at the beginning of the season.
And we will break down Titans-Falcons during the program. Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter, will join us in the next segment. We moved Teron up a little bit because Teron was at practice today. And the headline out of practice today was let's find a big word for what transpired at practice today between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons. We could use dust up, skirmish, clash, scuffle, altercation, conflict, confrontation.
Mm-hmm. We get the
spat.
None of them words triggered the bell.
Oh,
none of them.
No,
they're not big enough.
Okay.
Those are everyday words.
Okay. Yeah, I was just flexing my grammatical muscle there.
Oh, I feel you.
How many synonyms for fight can I come up with? So there is no footage of this dust up between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons because reporters out at practice can't record what happens at practice. Teron Davenport was at practice, so we will get his firsthand account in the next segment. But there has been some reporting on it, and we'll share that with you now from friend of the station, Paul Kaharsky of paulkaharsky.com on X. Quote, end zone scrum during red zone. After a few D wins and a chestnut rush touchdown, Ward hits Ridley back right crossing for touchdown. As they come together to celebrate, Jeffrey Simmons is in the path and riled up over stuff that happened previously. Ward shoved him. Simmons went back at him, hands on. Mostly playful, but you can't do that. Simmons ended up with his helmet off. Paul later posted, Simmons basically escorted to the locker room by PR after practice. Titans aren't touching any of that. If it was nothing, have him say it was nothing. If it was something, he needs to address it. So again, we will have Teron Davenport on in roughly 15 minutes. He was at practice. He can provide all of the context for those of us who did not see it. Mm-hmm. But Willie, Derek, when reports of this first came out, you read what happened. What came to mind?
Well, for me, as long as there weren't, and of course, I didn't see it. as long as there were no punches thrown, I thought of a couple of different adages. One you hit on, Adam, as we kind of put our little preparation together for our show together. Yours is you don't poke the bear, mm-hmm. right? And you know that you can think of a lot of different sports and things where they're instigating. Certainly hockey, there's many. But it seems like Cam Ward wanted to have, I don't know, a little competitive fun at Jeffrey Simmons' expense. So we sort of poked the bear, buzzed the tower a little mm-hmm. bit. And then Jeffrey Simmons, being the competitor that he is, already riled up. All of the accounts of this said Jeffrey Simmons was already running hot, right? So then he responds. And then the other adage that came to my mind was, then he did something that you just can't do without eliciting a response. He touched the quarterback, right? As soon as you put your hands on the quarterback, the entire offensive line and mm-hmm. then everybody else
rightfully so,
is going to come at you. But at the end of the day, I don't see a big problem with having a really competitive practice. And I don't think it really crossed the line. And quite frankly, this team kind of needs a little bit of that. So, Derek, what do you think?
Spear said it best, man. Listen, brothers are going to fight. That's just what happens. If you were in a big family like I was, my brother and I fought. But I guarantee you one thing. If you tried to mess with me being a younger brother, you're going to have to deal with all of them. And that was going to be a huge problem. So we can fight amongst ourselves, and we're straightening it out. Once we get off the field, or even after the play is done, we've moved on. So I don't see anything wrong. And please, let's not make it. Now, it may have been the Titans. You know, the Titans may have added a little fuel to the fire when they rushed Jeffrey off the practice field, if indeed that's what happened. I think they may have added a little bit of fuel to whatever small fire that was. But to me, this is what you want from your quarterback. I saw the same thing from Joe. I guess what it is now, these quarterbacks have different attitudes now. They're not sitting back, and they're not even passive. Tom Brady wasn't passive. Look at the quarterbacks after him. They're not passive type of quarterbacks. If they need to get into it verbally, they're going to get into it verbally with somebody. That's just the competitive nature of an elite player, someone that wants to be great. And let's be happy we have somebody. I've been screaming for somebody like this on the offensive side of the ball. Typically, it comes from the wide receiver or the running back, because the offensive linemen, they're just doing their job. You know, they're like a herd of elephants. They're just doing their job, and you ain't going to mess with them. And they just want to get back and rest a little bit before they do their job again. But you need those hyenas. You need those lions, those tigers.
Those bears.
You need them to kind of come at you a little bit. And right now, Cam is the panther. He's coming at people. He look unassuming. He does. But he's going to come at you. And that I love. And Jeffrey, I love that Jeffrey goes back at him. Jeffrey knows he can only go back at him to a certain extent.
Right.
He ain't going to put his hands on him because he knows that's the cash cow. And if you hurt him, you may not ever play in the NFL again. So Jeffrey understands that. The whole team understands that. The what was coming out, it was playful, you know, at one point. And then it's almost like they... And then they went to, Jeffrey got rushed off the field by the media people. So was it playful or did it get hit? Did it get heated? Which one was it? Because it went from playful to, they rushed Jeffrey off the field.
And I think it would have been best, without a doubt, that Jeffrey Simmons set the tone after the practice mm-hmm. and said, we got after it, we fought, it was intense, it boiled a little bit, but we're cool. Because that's the key. If there's bad blood and this is going to be every day, mm-hmm. then it does become a distraction, I think. But competitive practices are good as long as it's not spilling out at the end of practice when everybody cools down and practice is over and you take a few deep breaths.
I have a minor correction for Derek.
Yes.
Cam Ward is not a Panther. He's a Titan. He was drafted by the Titans, not Carolina. Sorry. Just had to do that. I know what you're saying.
All right. So, Adam, you as a former beat writer.
Yes.
How do you feel about not addressing the media? Because I think that would have been an easy one to say, look, we got after it. And Jarvis Brownlee did a great job. And I'm sad a little bit that it's a second-year player who has to be the team spokesman. And he did a fantastic job of putting it in perspective. But I would have liked that same answer from maybe a couple more offensive players and Simmons himself specifically.
Before I answer your question, you mentioned Jarvis Brownlee. So Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons did not address reporters after practice, but Jarvis Brownlee did. Here is what Jarvis Brownlee said about the dust-up between Ward and Simmons.
The level of competition, man. Let me show you that the offensive guys, they care about winning. Defensive side, they care about winning. And, you know, you got to be a next play mentality. But, you know, you never want to see your quarterback in the middle of those type of things. But when it do happens, you know, it just shows you the level of dog he got in him. He ain't going to take nothing. It shows you how much he cares about his offense, how much he cares about winning. And same goes for both sides of the ball with Jeff and him. And, you know, you get that same attitude, that same confidence, that same edge each and every day out of those two guys. You know, they never change. So, you know, that's what you expect. But when it does happen with our quarterback, you know, we try to break it up as soon as possible, fix it as soon as possible. But for me, I feel like it's a great thing. You know, when you got great teams, man, brothers fight. And at the end of the day, as long as we all got each other back, we all connected, you know, we all got that bond, and we all got that same connection where we're going to fight for one another, then that's the most important thing at the end of the day.
I want Derek to react to what Jarvis Brownlee said, but before we do that, let me answer Willie's question. Now, I never covered the NFL as a beat reporter. I know that the quarterback talks on specific days. They are much more managed than the rest of the team. So I don't think today was a day that Cam Ward was scheduled to address reporters. If I heard Parker Kelly earlier today correctly, if I recall correctly, I should say, Cam Ward will address reporters tomorrow. When it comes to Jeffrey Simmons, I think it would have been best for him to address it. We've talked about this in the past, I think with Jeffrey Simmons, but also generally from a reporting standpoint. By Jeffrey Simmons not addressing it today, the story continues in the news cycle because the next time that Jeffrey Simmons speaks, this is something that will be addressed. So we will continue to talk about it. So the Titans probably did themselves a disservice, and Jeffrey Simmons probably did himself a disservice by not trying to talk about it today. Because if he talks about it today, we talk about it tomorrow. Cam Ward probably gets asked about it, but we move on. It keeps it fresh in the news cycle, which is not never. It's not always a smart play. But, Derek, let's react to what Jarvis Brownlee said. What did you think of
that? Well, first, I think the Titans did do the best thing. Now, I may not have agreed with it. It may, to me or us, we would have wanted to hear what Jeffrey had to say.
Well, remember what happened last year when Jeffrey Simmons got into a scuffle and wasn't escorted to the locker room.
Exactly. So this time you learn from your past, you know, mistakes, hopefully, or it may take a couple of times before you learn. But it seems like they're trying to do something different. Maybe they took Jeffrey in.
If he hadn't
in.
Cooled down, maybe it is best that he didn't speak.
Exactly. They took Jeffrey in and they may even got their story correct, like, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. So everybody's on the same. Because what have I been saying for the longest with this organization? It seemed like the players want say one thing and then the coaches say another. And it's like, aren't y'all supposed to come together for one common, like, talking point here? Like one theme, but it's you're saying this and you're saying this about the story. Y'all should have came together on this before y'all put this out. Well, maybe they've learned from that. Maybe they went back in the locker room and talked about it. And tomorrow, I guarantee you, Brian Callahan will have a great response to it. Jeffrey Simmons will have a great response to it. And it will be the response sort of kind of like Spears gave. Guarantee you. And which is a smart thing, right?
Right. And maybe you have a little for the cameras.
And you have a little
Cam
fun
Ward
with
and Jeffrey go up and they laugh and they hug it out a little bit and say, all right, now let's get after it again. Like that's ideal.
Yes.
Right? That you get after it, you get to maximum competitive level, and then at the end of the practice, your teammates and you're the what it would appear to be the emotional leader on each side of the ball. And you go from there, and hopefully your group gets better.
Yeah, and I think it will. And now, as far as what Spears said, I think it was spot on.
Brownlee,
I think it was spot on. He sounds so much to me like Ed Reed. I think Ed's his cousin. but he sounds so much like him in how he perceives things and how he looks at things. The things that he said, I can hear Ed Reed saying those type of things if Ray and Joe got into it, or a secondary and Joe and the receivers, all of us got into it. That's something that he would say. And to me, that's a good thing, because when you're building a young team, you got to be able to trust one another. Yeah, we may bicker, we may go at it, but that's in the heat of battle. We're out here. It's 100 degrees. I'm tired, you tired. And if I feel you've been getting the best of me, my only sort of superpower is to start talking trash, because you didn't get the best of me. Now I got to start talking trash. And then a quarterback who's normally isn't the guy talking trash, he whipped one right, you know, past your ear, touchdown to Calvin Ridley. And I guarantee Calvin Ridley in there celebrating. And then Cam go jumps in. And then as he's walking by, he bumps Simmons a little bit like, let's go. And then they get into it. That's all it was, people. Nothing more, nothing less.
615-737-1025. Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons mix it up at Titans practice. Big deal, little deal, no deal. We will take your reaction to that and anything Titans all show long at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us. He was at practice. We will get his firsthand account. By the way, we did have some other votes for words. Donnybrook, Brouhaha, and a couple of votes for Kerfuffle. Thank you, Derek. 615-737-1025. Nashville's best deal of the week is Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 1025. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. Teron, how are we today?
Hey, I'm doing really well, man. I'm going to have to talk to David after the segment, man. It got me coming back on to some 80s movie music, man. I can't get
Come
Mark
on, you don't
B,
know what
that, Wu-Tang,
you don't know what that's from.
Eddie Murphy, party all the time.
Party all the time.
Backed up by Rick James. Come on.
He had another song. We can't say the title of it, but he had another one that was pretty good
he
too.
He did. He was not a one-hit wonder.
No.
Well, Teron, the news out of practice today, the headline is this scuffle, kerfuffle, confrontation, whatever word you want to use between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons. You were there. You have a firsthand account of what happened. So tell us with what you saw with your own eyes. Break it down for us.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say this. Anytime you're talking to me and we're mid-sentence, don't you ever use that word kerfuffle or whatever that is again, okay?
What's wrong with kerfuffle? What's wrong with kerfuffle?
That's the worst way to say I've ever heard somebody describe a confrontation. But
fine,
yeah,
fair enough.
I had to get on you. But, no, I mean, it happened right in front of me. I was standing in the end zone. And I think really what you have to do is take it back to the previous play, right? Because Julius Chestnut, he bounced one outside. They're in the low red zone. Chestnut bounced one outside, and he outraced the DB. I think it was Imani Hooker, outraced him to the end zone. And the whole reason he was able to bounce it outside was because J.C. Latham got a good block, kind of in the way of Simmons. And, you know, J.C. Latham, he's going to talk. And he and Simmons, they probably have the biggest rivalry out of the two on the team, if not Cam Ward and Simmons, you know. So Latham was talking to him all the way up and into the huddle. And, you know, Simmons was talking back, so they spotted the ball. They called the play, and Ridley ran a really nice route. He was able to catch a touchdown on Jarvis Brownlee Jr., and he was walking towards Cam, and Cam was walking to him. But for whatever reason, Cam stopped at Jeffrey Simmons. He pushed him, and he did the Zombieland celebration, and Simmons didn't like that. So two hands to the face, and next thing you know, everybody's around. And like Dan Moore said, right, you know, it goes without saying, protecting the quarterback and nobody being allowed to touch him, and that's what happened. I personally think Brian Callahan could have made a statement, right? I think it was a missed opportunity. He should have thrown Simmons out of the practice, even though Cameron Ward started it. But, you know, the guy who retaliates, he's always the one that gets caught.
So, Teron, you wrote about this 2 months ago for ESPN.com. The trash talk between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons and how it was fueling the Titans on the practice field. Was this a natural escalation of that trash talk, you think?
Yeah, it was just a natural escalation, man. These guys, I mean, look, there was just, what, 2 weeks ago or the first week of camp? You know, Cam, he headbutted Simmons. So, like, this isn't the first time they've had anything. Simmons was able to keep his cool and not respond on that other one. It didn't happen this time. But I think a lot is being made out of it. Like, Cameron Ward and Jeffrey Simmons are not enemies. And I'm going to tell you what, and D-May said it, you know, brothers fight, man. Like, me and my brothers, we rumbled all the time. Like, we used to go into the basement, and, you know, you got a disagreement, you go in the basement, you rumble it out, and when you're done, you come up. And if you have lumps, you put some ice on it, and you keep it moving. And that's just the way it goes. And then I will say, it feels like 105 degrees out here, man. Like, it's 96 degrees. It's hot. You're banging. Guys are more irritable, so you're going to have these confrontations.
So those weren't kerfuffles between you and your brothers?
Those were rumbles.
Yeah.
They weren't kerfuffles.
Yeah, they were rumbles. There you go. Rumbles. Now you're saying it right. They were rumbles. Like, let's get it in.
TD, I think what it is, and I'm happy. It's sort of a breath of fresh air to have what seems to be an alpha dog on the offense outside of, because usually, you know, it's a wide receiver or it's a running back, and they're always, and quarterback's always the mild-mannered one. But then if you actually look at it, the great ones, whether it was Brady or anybody else, they had that fire. And that fire sort of spilled over to the defense, and maybe they got into it, but it was always for the best of the team. And I think that's what's going on. I would rather have that now, knowing that, you know, it's much of nothing. But I would rather have that with a guy on offense and a guy on defense than to have the defense always barking and offense sort of cowarding each and every time, you know, the defense gets in their face. So I'm not going to make anything of that. But this past Friday, what did you think of Cam Ward's performance? Because, you know, at first glance, yeah, a lot of people just like to look at the numbers and they say, well, he only completed 2 to 4 passes somewhere around there for under 50 yards. But if you actually watch the game over, you will see those numbers are deceptive in what it's saying, because Cam played much better than I think his numbers said.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's just the beauty of actually watching the game. You know, Booger McFarland, I'll always credit him because his statement always works. Stats are like bikinis. They show a lot, but not everything. And that's really what it boils down to. You look at a 2 for 7 and think he had a very bad night. But, I mean, look at the first drive, right? It's 2nd and 13. He uncorks a beautiful throw. Van Jefferson was not able to corral it. And now, you know, you're looking at a 3rd and 13. He's sidearm throw to DK. And, you know, next thing you know, they're punting. What happens if Van Jefferson does what he's supposed to do and makes that catch? Now you're looking at, it's probably like a 30-yard. So now you're adding, you're 3 for 7, right, and almost doubling the yardage. So I think you have to look at those things. I think you look at Ward after the game. When I asked him about it, he said that he probably could have put it on his chest. That throw was a long-range handoff. Like, it was on the money. Jefferson just has to catch it. And that's the bottom line. But you look at some of his other throws. I really like the breakdown that Dan Orlovsky did where he was showing. Now, it was an incomplete, but just the way Ward, he hit the top of his drop, and it's out. And that's what you want, right? It was before the receiver. I think it was Chig. It was before Chig made his break. The ball was out and on its way there. Now, it fell incomplete, like I said, but just those types of things I think are good. And he's continuing to progress. And one of the things that he's always said is the timing, right? Making sure the timing and the ball is out when he gets to the top of his drop. He said that's going to offset any issues with spacing or speed of the game or anything like that. And I think that incompletion was a good example.
Now, talking about incompletions and drop balls to wide receivers, I think Io Manor, he played well. I would like to see him play better. I think that contested – I think that was Io Manor, the contested fade from the inside position. I would have called pass interference if we're in a regular season game. I think it was pass interference, but I think he needs to use that big body and muscle and go get it. But all in all, what do you think of the wide receivers and how they played?
Yeah, I mean, there was a catch by Bryce Oliver across the middle, you know what I mean, in traffic. And I tell you, but every time Oliver, I know you started with Iron Man, but I want to give Oliver his props because every time he gets on the field, he does something you're like, ooh.
Porsche as well. Porsche.
Yeah, and Prost, hey, listen, he did the reverse of you, right? He went from Baltimore to here. But I tell you what, it's been good for him. He's also a playmaker. But I think when you look at these receivers, I mean, it's Ridley and then the rest, right? And Ridley clearly is the standard. Iyo Manor, DK, these guys are up and coming. They just got to get – like, I want to see them play with a little more aggressiveness. You know what I mean? And then I think Lockett – like, Lockett made a couple of nice plays today. Catches across the middle. He's going to be that security blanket. And then you really look at and I was talking to him about this the other day. You know, you look at what he did in Seattle with Russell Wilson. How many times did you see a broken play and Wilson extending it and he turns his route upfield and it leads to a big play? You saw that all the time. So I think that experience is something that he can bring to Ward. He said that they've talked about that. So I think that's a good thing. Looking at some of the other guys left, Van Jefferson, I think his routes are so good. You know what I mean? But you want to see him make a few more plays. So there's a little bit to be desired with this receiver group. I'm really curious how things work with the waiver wire. Like, I mean, if I'm man 49 to 53, like, I'm not sleeping even after the rosters are cut down to 53 because they have first claim on waiver wire. And, hey, it could be another guy that gets claimed, and that means it's time for you to go.
A couple things, Teron, on some of this connection that we're seeing between Ward and the receivers. There was a really healthy philosophical, and they weren't on at the same time, but we were listening to Tim Hasselbeck and listening to Dan Orlovsky. Orlovsky was lauding the fact that Ward, in these preseason games, is sort of testing the boundaries. Let me see if I can make the shot. Let's take some chances and attack down the field. And D-Mace just broke down a couple of those throws. And Tim Hasselbeck pointed out on some of the same plays, and he used one that was a first and 10. So it wasn't like a third down where you have to hit the sticks, right? There were guys underneath that were there. So striking that balance seems to me to be something that Cam Ward is working on because he came in with the reputation of he likes to attack down the field.
Yeah, he likes to attack down the field, but he will – I mean, look at the game against Virginia Tech, right, where 88 at the end, right, you know, he was almost sacked, and he just pitched the ball to 88. The guy was underneath, right? He was looking downfield, but he found somebody underneath, you know, in the flat, boom, pitched it to him. That guy took it down, and then they scored the go-ahead touchdown a couple plays. Like, he does that, I think, to your point about trying to see what you could get away with, what shots you could take. And again, I think that's smart. You know that the check down is there. You know it's there. But this is another reason why I don't get too hung up on stats, especially in practice, you know what I mean? Because it's like, okay, I know I got Pollard in that flat. I could go there. But I want to see if I can rip it in here to Gunnar Helm, you know, who's spotting up right over top of the tackle, you know, 10 yards down the field. Can I get that in between a couple linebackers to him?
One thing that you can tell Mike Borgonzi and Brian Callahan are watching for close, because this is the best case scenario for them, is that some of these young players at different position groups, not just wide receiver, but all over the field, are going to jump up and grab some of these jobs. I'll give you an example from way back. And D-Mace, you have to try to help me remember the name of the player. It was a veteran cornerback, and he was a good corner. And Samari Roll, as a rookie, the entire preseason was running. Yes. Daryl Lewis, good cornerback. And it was assumed that Daryl Lewis was going to be the starter. Samari Roll all preseason was running with the twos. And then one day, whoop, they switched him. And Samari Roll suddenly was the starter. And as we know, Samari Roll was a heck of a player for a long time from day one. And that was the first year of the Titans. The results speak for themselves. Do you think that could be happening, especially at receiver, Teron, one of these days we might just see Iyo Manor or one of these guys become the starter and just even not give the veteran even the benefit of the doubt for the opening week, for example.
Yeah, I said it back in the spring that Iron Manor is going to be the starter next. It's just a matter of time. I think we're seeing that right now. Van Jefferson is the starter next. Iron Manor is going to get that job eventually, you know, and the vertical part that he brings. And then also not to mention to use him a lot, like, look, I understand when I'm mentioning these two, I'm not comparing where they are right now. It's very clear that Drake London is a better player than Alec Aluminer. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the usage, right, where you could motion the back out of the backfield and get that matchup, you know, where he's on a DB that he could get that position on that in-breaking route. Or if the linebacker stays there and they run zone, he finds the window, those types of things. That's what Atlanta did all day against the Titans in the joint practices, and Drake London was eaten. You know what I mean? And I think you could do the same type of thing with Iron Manor.
Cedric Gray really stood out. I'm sure they had a blast going back through the tape and watching his linebacker blitz where he just blew up the running back that was trying to pass protect, and they got the sack out of it. But tell me where you think he is with his all-around game, because he seems to be flashing a little bit the way you were hoping that some of these guys would.
Yeah, I tell you, man, watching that play, man, I just kept hearing Marshawn Lynch, and you know what he said, something else we can't say on the radio. But that's all I kept thinking of when I was watching it, because he ran right through that dude, as Chris Sanders would say, ran through his mustache, man. And that's what you got to do, right? You're coming downhill. You got to make him pay for daring to step up. And I think when you look at Cedric Gray, because I talked to him after the game about this, just you see him playing fast. Like, he's always showing up. He had the interception also. He had buku tackles. And you see this guy continuing to show up and get near the football. And he told me that he's finally, like, the game is starting to slow down for him. And he's not thinking so much, and he's playing so much more naturally. And I think that's the advantage, honestly, that he has over James Williams. He's a more natural linebacker. Right, but James Williams is just seek and destroy. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? And he's someone that sometimes he might, like, over pursue a gap and get caught out of position. But when he hits it right, he's hitting and it's setting the tone. So they kind of got the best of both worlds with those two guys. I think, you know, right now, from what I understand, James Williams has the edge, but the door isn't shut. I will say this, Cedric Gray took some significant reps today. I'll just leave it at that. And I think it's a really good competition, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it works out. I just wonder, like, once Kevin Winston Jr. comes back, I would like to see them use a little more three safety sets too, because you've got – three safeties that could all three of them could make plays against the run. And then when you need to match up with the tight ends, Winston, I think, could really do that and help you out.
Jerron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D-Maze, Fingan and Donick, and he is presented weekly by Bart Durham Injury Law. Jerron, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
I appreciate you. Go Mets, man. We needed one, Willie. We got one.
Finally got
night.
Two in a row, TD. Two is a streak, right?
Yeah. That's luck.
Right. Did I hear three? That's come on, right. Let's go. Got to get let's this back on the right track here.
All right, Jerron. Catch up next week, my friend. 615-7.
Your Nats are next, Adam. Coming to Washington for you.
For me? What did I do? 615-737-1025. We will react to what Jerron had to say about Ward and Simmons. There was something Jerron said that I do want to pinpoint, however, and we will do that coming up next, 615-737-1025. Hey, be a hero and save a life this Wednesday at the 12th annual Williamson County Battle of the Badges Blood Drive. The drive will be held at Brentwood Concord Road Library Wednesday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. 1025 The Game will be on hand from noon to 2 with swag to give away and a chance to win free concert tickets. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will perform at Trinetics' Rock the Cradle. This event is sure to be a great time, celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Always a pleasure to talk with Jerron Davenport. I think tomorrow is TD Tuesday on Next Man Up with Jake Lyman, so you can hear Teron Davenport from 9 to noon tomorrow on this very station. Also, I learned Teron does not like the word kerfuffle. Not into it.
He made that very clear.
Yes. Not into kerfuffle. Duly noted, Teron. But I want to touch on something Teron said when discussing the Cam Ward, Jeffrey Simmons tussle. Teron said he thought it was a missed opportunity for Brian Callahan to not throw Jeffrey Simmons out of practice. Because remember, Callahan famously did not toss Simmons out of practice last year, which many people believe set the wrong tone for Callahan as a first-year head coach. Willie, you reminded us during the break that Big Joe Dubin was out on Brian Callahan. Yeah. Out! Because he did not throw Jeffrey Simmons out of practice.
It's been a big topic. It really stuck with Joe is something that...
A.K.A. the king of the Callahaters, Big Joe Dubin, A.K.A.
And that is Exhibit A of what he thought he should have done. And it was a bigger deal to some than it was to me. But I do keep in mind, he is a young head coach. He is a first-time young head coach who hasn't done this for 10 years and seen... Mm-hmm. This where he's the head guy and he's got to make that decision, and you probably have to make it right there, right? You can't just say, should I throw him out? Let me go ask a couple of guys. Hey, Derek, do you think I should throw Jeffrey out before this next play? Like, the practice is going. Like, you got to make the call. You got to step in and say, Jeff, you're out. You know, you got to do that. And I don't know what was going through his mind, and I didn't see the play. So I can't really comment how similar this one was to last year. But last year's was definitely more of a fight. This one, I don't know if I would characterize as a fight. But Dimash, you made the point: if it looked like it was going to be a 15-yard penalty on Simmons, then that would have been your way of doing it, right?
Exactly. You know, in a game, if you mush somebody in the face, especially if they see, you know, kind of going back and forth, more than likely they're throwing a 15-yard penalty. They are. And I know the announcers on the other end would, you got to throw him out. But 9 times out of 10, especially if it's one of those dudes like Jeffrey is, they just give him a flagrant foul, you know, a 15-yard personal foul. But what that does is it hurts the defense. And so that was an opportunity for Callahan to say, get him out of here. I know they wouldn't have thrown him out in the game, but it would have still cost us 15 yards. Now we probably would have got to stop. Now it's first and goal because Jeffrey throws, or, you know, we backed up on a kickoff and we're at the 1 yard line. Something like that that's going to hurt your team in the long run. You know, Vrabel famously said it, don't do bleep to hurt the team. I've heard many coaches say that, from Jeff Fisher to John Harbaugh. They've all said it. And that was probably another opportunity, even though I'm not going to say he should have for definitely kicked him out because I didn't see it. But the way that TD described how it happened, that was another opportunity, I believe, to say, this is my team and you're going to be a disciplined player because we've had this one too many times. So that would have been a personal foul. Get your you-know-what out of here. He wouldn't have got kicked out in the game. But he would have got a 15-yard penalty. So, if I'm going to find a fault in what happened, it's that was an opportunity for Brian Callahan to say, Jeff, you're out of here, because that would have been a 15-yard penalty, and that would have cost us.
Mike on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Callahan had a whole year to think about what to do the next time. Alex from Franklin on our text line says, well, I think the fight is no big deal. It's refreshing to see Cam Ward stand up to Jeffrey Simmons. He's the leader we've been waiting for. Times are a-changing.
That is what I am more focused on based on my read on the accounts of this, right? This is, again, me trying to decipher what happened without a lot of people talking about it. I'm going also by what Jarvis Brownlee's interpretation was, Dan Moore's interpretation, and the accounts of the people who actually watched it. I think this team desperately needs, D-Mace used the perfect term, alpha dogs. You want an alpha dog on both sides of the ball. It makes for competitive practices. as long as it doesn't cross a line where somebody gets hurt or it carries over into the locker room after practice or the next day. I think if they come out tomorrow and they, you know, there's a little bit of a public Cam Ward, Jeffrey Simmons, high five, hug it out, whatever, and you go again, that is healthy to me. This team needs some spunk. They need some attitude. And so that would be healthy. The detail of whether he's thrown out of practice, I don't know if it was right at the end of practice, the beginning of practice. These are all factors, right? But you want a competitive practice at the end of the day.
Yeah, you do. So, again, you know, I am not going to beat up Callahan over this, but, you know, this probably, again, was another opportunity. Again, I didn't see it. I wasn't out there. I'm just going by sort of the play-by-play that we were given. And if you put your hands on the quarterback's face mask, that will be an ultimate 15-yard penalty. And depending on who the quarterback is, that may be a hefty fine after the game. It'll be in your locker come on Wednesday morning when you get in there after your break. Off on Tuesday. But this was, again, this was the opportunity, I think, based on what I heard, where Callahan could have made a statement. But he chose not to. I don't know. He could have said something to Jeffrey on the field or as they were walking out or when he got back in. I'm sure once they watch film tonight, he's going to say some things to Jeffrey. I'm sure he will. But everybody's still going to think you are scared of Jeffrey.
One texter says, Vrabel never
kicked. It's not untrue.
Yeah.
Vrabel never kicked Jeff out for fighting. It's a part of training camp. That is factually inaccurate. From A to Z Sports, more than 2 years ago, from Sam Phelan, there was a tussle between Jeffrey Simmons. I'm just going to use the word tussle because I don't want to upset anybody with kerfuffle. Jeffrey Simmons and Jamarco Jones got into it during a team period of practice, according to Sam Phelan of A to Z Sports. Both players were removed from practice and spent the rest of the day working out on the sidelines and in the sand pit. Neither returned to the practice field, however.
So I remember
that. Mike Vrabel did indeed set Jeffrey Simmons off to the side after getting into
and from my knowledge,
a confrontation at practice.
From my knowledge, Brian hasn't done any of that. And he's had a few situations where he could have. Now, like you said, Willie, I don't know if this happened at the end of practice. So kicking him out, I mean.
And maybe they deemed it would not have been a penalty. I can't comment if I didn't see how much contact was. But if it were a penalty, that would be very much grounds to set the boundary. And like you said, you don't want to come across as somebody who won't stand up to the most decorated players on your roster, right? Because that is something that players will sense, right? Oh, he'll throw the third string guy out here. He'll throw him out of practice. He won't throw the star player out. That does rumble through a locker room, no question about it.
You can't have that. If indeed this seems to be the pattern, and this sort of, you don't want this to spread. You just don't. And you've had opportunities as a head coach to do one or the other. You chose another route. Fine. That's what you chose. But you can't get, you know, upset, or you can't, you know, say we're making too much of it when it's happened over and over again and you still haven't done anything to the guy that it's happening with. You just sort of dismiss it and go about your business. Because obviously, if you have talked to him, I mean, it works for a minute, but then he kind of, you know, becomes Jeffrey again.
The texter who said that Vrabel never kicked Jeffrey Simmons out of practice has responded. I want to see if this is just a matter of semantics. He said he did not kick him out. He made him run. Big difference.
He kicked him out of practice, man.
He was not a part of the practice routine.
I'm telling you, from a guy that's seen that, you're not a part of practice. You're over there and everybody else is practicing. You're over on that third field.
Skyler says Jamarco Jones got cut after that fight, too.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Callahan just doesn't have that in him. Well, he's not going to cut Jeffrey Simmons, guys.
Or the quarterback.
But this, it's a bigger thing, too. It's not just how are you handling Jeffrey Simmons, who does have a temper on him, right? It's what makes him great is also a weakness at times. He can snap a little bit, but it also goes to the bigger thing of you're trying to have a more disciplined, attention to detail focused team, and they were anything but that last year. That is a fair criticism of a young head coach in Brian Callahan.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction on the dust-up, the scuffle, the confrontation, the tussle between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons at practice. But there
the rhubarb.
The rhubarb? Isn't that a pie?
Well, yeah, but it's also a dust-up, a scuffle, a rumble.
I take it.
A rhubarb.
Mm.
A disagreement. An argument.
Is it?
Well, one definition of rhubarb is a heated dispute.
Yeah, there you okay. go. Okay. Hello. Vocab. Chalk it up. Give me a
He went into his bag. Yes.
615-737-1025. There was a game on Friday. We will discuss that, starting with, of course, Cam Ward's performance against the Atlanta Falcons. We'll do that next. We'll take your reaction all show long. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.